For the Lord indeed would say, you have stung to be still in my presence. But the Lord would say to you also, are you learning to be still in trials, in turmoils, when the wind is raging and the sea is in an uproar? Are you still learning to be still, says the Lord? Are you turning in your trials to the one who has overcome and who has gone before and prepared the way? Is your faith reaching out to him in that trial and counting it all joy? Because that is where true stillness is to be found. Anyone can be still when they feel like it. Anyone can be still when things are going well and you decide to just be still before the Lord. And yes, it does have its place, says the Lord. But that stillness is in the midst of trial, in the storm. That is where stillness is to be found. And that is where the victory is to be found. How did I still the storm when I was in the boat, sleeping, and the disciples were in fear of them drowning? It was because I was still in the presence of my Father. And that stillness calmed the weathers and the wave. And that is the same stillness that resides in you, says the Lord. Therefore seek that stillness. Seek that calmness in your trials. Because when you seek that and desire that with your heart, you are seeking me. And that is why I always bring peace, says the Lord. And when I came to the disciples after risen, the first thing I said to them, peace. And that is what I say to you. And I say to you, that peace in your trials and your tribulations, and you will see the Prince of Peace rise up and bring peace to those conditions. Therefore savour this in your heart. And for those who desire this, says the Lord, he will work this. For this truly can only be seen when you go through trials. How will you know that peace? How will you know the Prince of Peace? You only can see him and know him when the trials are raging. Then he is seen. Then he reveals himself. But you have to seek him first. You have to look with all your heart. You have to turn away from those conditions. You have to stop looking at them, says the Lord, and turn to the Prince of Peace. Amen. Yes, indeed.
Concerning that word, that prophecy, I believe the Lord has spoken from the throne of grace to our hearts. It's certainly something I was going through. I'm not assuming it's for the whole assembly, but a prophecy will address everyone around it. So, it's not a complete manifestation. I have to be careful. I confess before the Lord here, but praise God. Some of you know my knee is healed. Praise God. I've got a healed knee. Praise
Amen.
God. Part of that process, last week it just flared up. In the natural, I could feel the cartilage just go keeping things just rip. And I think swallowed up and I couldn't walk. I was sort of probably without that. Something happened at home, and I thought, oh, well, you see, I'm not meeting the conditions, I'm not right with the Lord, what's the point of trying to believe? So I temporarily gave in this word about being still before God. This is the important thing, hearing from the Holy Spirit. I knew in my heart God was still on the throne, Jesus had gone to the cross, God is still in control. I could have carried on believing, but I rang up the... Because you can get some stuff, apparently, that helps with cartilages.
Yeah.
So I fell for that. It came, and I knew I'd done wrong. I knew I'd missed it because I hadn't been still before God. I've let the condemnation, I've let the logic, the enemy with his logic. Anyway, sent the pills back, praise God. Opened and touched and sent them back. And throughout that week, took about a week, the whole process took about a week. The wobbly thing happened on Saturday. And the enemy was saying, oh, come on, give yourself a break. Just relax, live to fight another day. God knows, it'll, you know, these things will last about a year. And in that year, you'll learn to trust God. But I knew where that serpent, what that was coming from, the enemy, the logic. And, you know, what I just really want to praise God for, because I've seen the change spiritually, in my heart of hearts, as I did get still before the Lord, it was just that grace faith. It wasn't a legalistic faith. It was a grace faith. It was like a shield, and the arrows were just bouncing off. And it was, I've really experienced, from, I don't want to say the first time, but truly in this occasion, experienced God fighting for me. Amen. It was like the Spirit was giving me the words to go back at the enemy. Mm-hmm. And I began to rest in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And normally these things take a week off, complete rest, week off, ice packs, all of that. So I could hardly walk or walk with difficulty. So praise God, by His grace I went gardening instead. And as I continued to go gardening, and the Lord, even some of you may know it, I thought, right, okay, devil, you think you've heard my needing. So I sat there like that, an exercise where you just lean on your thigh and you really feel it. They do that, professional skiers do that.
Yes.
So just sat there, yeah, okay, whatever. And, you know, by Wednesday, just kept going. I just sat with my feet like this on a stool. Because the thing is, I couldn't straighten the leg right now. But, you know, praise God, by Wednesday, I was going like this, laughing at the devil. But the point is, not in a disrespectful way, but I just knew in that trial, God had manifested
yes.
that thing.
Yes.
And what He's teaching is that total dependence on God. The enemy was saying, you haven't met the conditions, God's still dealing with stuff in your life, you're not qualified to believe for healing. The
accuser.
But, you know, the accuser, the brethren, but the Spirit was saying, well, it's a whole package.
Right.
The atonement is a whole belief for it all. Don't say you've got to be perfect in this realm before you can believe for that. No. Faith is faith.
Okay.
And the Lord just kept saying, He just kept showing me the cross.
Hallelujah.
It's the cross that Jesus died on. Either he did or he didn't. And it's the cross you're taking up, either you are or you aren't. Either you're going to give in to the flesh and feel sorry for yourself, or you're going to believe God and just keep walking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's but what really blessed me, it was the Spirit doing it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like rushing to the Word, mm-hmm. which is okay, faith comes by the Word,
yeah.
but it's this stillness. This is why I want to praise God, the stillness, listening to the Holy Spirit who ministers that faith, who gives that leading, wisdom, guidance, mm-hmm. how to act your faith, and constantly revealing God's grace, the cross.
Mm.
It's not our ability.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the victory. God doesn't love Satan more than me. Why does the accuser of the brethren have such a lot of power in my head?
Amen.
You know, He loves me, not the devil.
Amen.
And it's like, you get a glimpse of the Father's love. The Spirit just kept showing me the Father's heart. He loves me.
Amen.
Well, you know, it's a bit of a trial, but either He is or He isn't, either He's in control. And along with that, I was, like in my reading, I was in 2 Chronicles, and it's talking about the different kings, how the enemy moved in on Israel because they forsook the Lord, and how He blessed them when they prepared their heart to seek Him. But it's so clear, it's so simple. Blessing because of obedience and wholeheartedness, and the enemy moving in like a flood because of sin and idolatry. Just want to praise the Lord for that,
Amen.
For that confirmation. But I'm still learning that. You know, we're still in all the trials and all the situations when the enemy comes in pounding on them, and it's in the mind, isn't it? Those old grey cells, those young renewed white cells, praise God. God is purifying, God is renewing, but it's in that trial. where the peace, where the being still really matters, because that's where the power is, that's where God is. It's in the still small voice. So I wonder if we could pray, the Lord's just challenged us in all of that, because that is the victory in our trial. The word is in our heart. We know the word. We don't have to, word for word, don't get me wrong in this, but quoting scripture in a theologically correct sense, you know, for example, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. You could just say, you know, Jesus did it at Calvary, get off my back, that sort of thing. It's quoting the word. I mean, praise God, we do need to get it right. But I trust you understand what I'm saying. It's not a head thing. It's God's word out of our mouth by the power of the Spirit. And sometimes there isn't enough to quote the whole verse. So you just say the truth of what God has said in that. I trust you understand what is heretic. But can we pray that the Lord removes those hindrances? It's the fear, isn't it? It's the listening to the lie of the devil. Why do I still keep doing that? That's so frustrating. Can you imagine God of all grace, and here we are still listening to the lies of the enemy?
Amen.
If we could just lift that up before the
Thank you, Father.
It touches our hearts and we understand, we get that.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Mighty Jesus. Amen.
I'm shocked quite the same way as Bob, but I've been going through an injury that I didn't know I had. I just put down to old age. But it came about and I fell and broke my two toes. I'm trying to still overcome it now. And at work, my shoulder came out, so I've been everybody heard this click. And I knew something was dreadfully wrong, but you know, just continued at work, doing my thing. When I woke up before the morning, I thought I was having a heart attack because my arm and the pain was shooting right across. And I admit to you, I wasn't in faith that I should have been. It's cut a long story short, they wanted to send me for an MRI because this injury was for such a long time. And I had been for an MRI before when I had balance issues, but I believe at that time God healed me, I'm not going to find anything. They didn't, praise the Lord for that. But they, this time they strapped me in and put me in this tube, right? Now, I'm not one that has that kind of fear. Someone said to me, what the hell are you doing in there? Get yourself out. And I opened my eyes and thought, hold, what am I doing here? I shouldn't be in this place. So I pressed the button, it didn't come quick enough, and I kept pressing and pressing. And one of the senior nurses got really mad at me. And she said to me, you know, this costs NHS so many hundreds of pounds. And I said to her, if this means for me to be healed by this technology, then my mate could come and get me now. Right? And she looked at me like I was mad. And I said, don't care. I said, it's a case that I've got to have to go into that for you to diagnose what my problem is. Then I want to die. All God's come take me today. And I just left it. And I was tearful, but I was bold. Because normally I'd be very apologetic in a sense whereby, but I said, no, this is not for me. And it was like God met me at my mustard seed of faith to say, we're getting there, girl. You know, you went there, they wanted you to be in there for an over half an hour. And within minutes of something testifying in my spirit, I knew it was not for me. And I said, no, I don't want this. I'm not interested. What will be, but God's in control. And I just left it at that, and I walked away. Albeit they all thought I was crazy, but, you know, I thought to myself, this is my little steps of faith. And in time, now God's working on me, I will overcome.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, what we will do at the end of the word, we will go into prayer on these things and have a prayer time. We shouldn't rush our meetings, and many times things come up in the word and we will use that time. And I will share the word now with you, as I believe the Lord has laid it today, and praise God, I too was able to get here and have listened to these lovely testimonies, and that prophecy in some way was coming out of experience with me also today, with our trial that we're going through with Mother. And I knew I had to get away from the whole situation, because everything said, well, you're not going to get there today, you're not going to preach, and we got problems, blah, blah, and the usual thing. And in the end, I had to get away, and just I turned to the Lord and said, I need to hear from you, I need to be still. You see this situation, it doesn't take you by surprise, I need to hear what you are saying, because I know where I should be. And if somebody doesn't want me there, and so forth. And I just found myself, after a while, being still, praising the Lord, just rejoicing, thanking. And I heard come out of my lips, I said, Lord, what a privilege this is. Because I can see your handiwork. You can rise up. Not the enemy. But I had to get away and be still. Because you know what being still does? It causes you to focus on the one who brings the victory. That is why, you see. The enemy attacks us to take our attention away from Jesus, the victor. That's why he does it. And he creates all the turmoil. He is a master at being able to amplify, blow out of proportion things that go on. And this is why we see the turmoils today in society. We see these riots. We see people having breakdowns, emotional outbursts, and so on. We're living in an age and generation that is so bound by the flesh, and by the emotions, and by feelings, because the enemy has got them so centered into the self. And we've got New Age today that promotes this self-life, the pride. And what does it do? It traps man in his own emotions and feelings, which hinder him from being able to turn to Almighty God, because the principle always is to be still. To know God's presence, you have to be still. You can't find God's presence in turmoil. Elijah had to learn that one. He had to turn away and find that the still small voice was in the midst of the storm, right in the center. Be still and come away. That's why we're always encouraging you to daily turn to God in your closet. It's not just prayer. It's actually being still. And you are going to come to a place, brothers and sisters, in this prayer time that we call it, where actually you're going to come before God and say, Lord, I've got nothing to say. I'm here to listen to you. Amen. That is ultimately our prayer life, the goal of it, where we shut up and let God speak. Because there's nothing you are telling him he doesn't know. And whatever you do tell him, he put it there in you anyway. So think about it. I mean, aren't we stupid? You know, we think we would get it right. But that is ultimately the goal of your waiting on God and your coming daily into his presence, where you hear him speak. And when he speaks, it answers everything that your heart and everything you wanted to pour out before him. When he speaks, when he starts to reveal himself, praise God. How did he know that? Well, of course he knew that. That's what's such a blessing about it. There is the rest that we're looking for and entering into by faith. And that's why I'm calling this a completed faith. Because each one of us has a faith walk that is unique to each one. And this faith walk has to be completed. So each of us around, as we look at one another, we have a faith walk before God, and each one of us is going to complete that faith walk, but our walk is all different from each other, but the goal is the same at the end. You cannot emulate your brother or sister, even your husband or wife, their walk, because their walk is different. They are to complete their walk the same as you to complete your walk, my walk. Yet the ultimate goal and victory is the same. Let's turn to something we know very well, Philippians 1 and verse 6, which says here, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Notice the wording, it says, being confident. If there is not that confidence, you are still not sure that he's going to complete or perfect that which concerns you, which is in your life, those mountains. So he's going to work in completing your faith, my faith. He's going to work and work and work until you are absolutely persuaded, you are confident that he will do it. And you will know that confidence, because I've already just said it, when you come into God's presence, into the closet, and you are waiting to hear from him, that is a sign that that confidence is coming to its completion. Your faith is coming to its completion. You don't need evidence. You don't need influencing. You don't need to hear God speak. You don't need to have a word. Lord, just speak to me through the word. Give me confidence. You don't need it. Don't need it. As our brother just said, through that trial. If the word's there, the word knows what to do. Because what does the word do? The word brings us into a personal relationship with Almighty God. That's what hearing does. It's ultimately bringing us into that relationship with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. That's why our faith is real. And we know that God loves us. Because as we heard, he doesn't love Satan. He loves us. And we get that from the word. Now let God prove that he loves you. He loves me. And part of that is to shut up. It is. Get out the way. It is the flesh that still gets in the way. Wants to be in control. And so he says here, being confident of this very thing, getting out of the way, doesn't need me, because I'm confident, I am persuaded that God loves me, and because he loves me, he has started a work, he's going to complete and finish it, because God never, when he starts a work, he never leaves it incomplete. Never. That is not God's sovereignty. You need to learn God's sovereignty. What he decrees, what he speaks, will come to pass. Will come to completion and fruition. You mark my words. You can be totally, absolutely confident on that. Because that's part of our persuasion. And so the apostle himself who writes this, he takes comfort that the work God will do, not only in him, but he will do it for all the saints and all the churches that he established. Because he knew his ministry was not a mistake. Your calling is not a mistake. Everyone who's listening to this word today and the saints in the room is not a mistake. God has taken the initiative. I'm here today by divine appointments. The devil didn't want me here. I knew that. I didn't need to rush to the world. Lord, do you want me there at the meeting today? Or maybe something, you know, something different. Well, maybe you want to say something to me. Therefore, you know, I better stay behind. And that's how logic and mind thinks, you see. Because I knew God wanted me here because he'd given me a message. I knew someone didn't want me to preach it. There's a difference. There's a difference. And sometimes you are doubly tried because the trial isn't always you. It's somebody else or somebody you're close to who's creating the trial, the problem. And so you find yourself having to rely and believe in God's love and grace and mercy. It's so easy to use them as a punch bag. Do you realise what you are doing? So the trials are all around. And that's why you've got to get away from it. Get away. I'm so reminded in reading many of the testimonies of old Smith Wigglesworth, you know, when God mightily used that man. Many times you see where he just had to get away and hear from God first. Because what is being still in God's presence brings the divine presence of God into that situation. As our brother just said, he knew God was present there. It was like the fiery darts were coming, but they were just falling down. Because we're never going to be healed, we're never going to be changed, unless God's presence is on the scene. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. And I've had to say, Lord, I know your presence is not here in this. And I've either got to wait, I've got to, whatever it is, unless your presence is with us in this, unless your presence is here to heal, we're wasting our time. Now our faith appropriates that. In whatever way faith will do, that is where faith comes in. So you see, we can't do without faith. We can't just excuse and say, oh well, God isn't here today to heal, so, you know, c'est la vie. No, no, no. No, no. Somehow our faith, our belief, and which comes from the Word, will bring the presence of God into that situation. And very often it is by being still. It's actually right in the midst of disaster, turning away from it and turning to Christ. When everything would say in the natural, you don't do a thing like that. You have not been brought up to turn away. That is shirking your responsibility. What it simply means is turning your affection, your heart, your emotions that are all being tried to sucked into this situation. I choose to turn it away and listen to God and wait on him. That's ultimately what it is. And you'll know when that's starting to work in you, because you're now starting to be persuaded, influenced, because you know it's going to work. Amen. And that is why all saints have to walk before God as planned. Your walk, my walk, every born-again believer's life and walk is planned by Almighty God. That's why he said, I go before and prepare the way. Jesus said to the apostles, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come back, and where I am going, I'm going to prepare a place for you. What is that revealing? That's revealing God's divine almighty plan for each one of us. And the plan that he has planned for each one of us is absolutely unique. What God has planned for you, you, me, is absolutely complete. And it will not be repeated the same, even for your husband or your wife, what he has planned for them. Every walk that is planned before Almighty God is a unique creation of God. For his glory. Wow. That's something, isn't it? Because he's gone to prepare a place for you in glory. So he's not going to be building a block of houses all looking the same. No way. No way. You see? Everything is cloned today, isn't it? Everything is manufactured. Everything is off a conveyor belt. Even places you go to, towns or villages or cities, and you go in and you shop, there's the usual shops, all the clones are all there. I think sometimes I think, give it a break, will you? You know? Because we don't see anything anymore of man working with his hands. You don't see these craft stores. You don't see these unique shops where owners have worked hard and worked with their hands to make that business, that shop, unique with their own brand and style. No way you don't see that anymore. Even to restaurants where you eat or coffee shops. They're all the same. And you go in there, the same setup. The same cups you drink from, the same menu, and the same blob of where they got the coffee from and everything. Praise God, he's got something better for us. That's the generation we're living in now. And people think that's the norm, that's the way. But you see, us older generation, we know differently. That's why I still like markets. I like markets. Because there's something different about them. And you've got characters on those stores. And some of them have been on it for years, and their father and their father and their father was on it. It's a generation thing, but sadly it's gradually going. Why? Because food, as we know it, is all going to be controlled by the Antichrist system. So Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place unique for each one. And he will give you your heart's desire. You needn't say to it, my Lord, I would fancy, you know, when I go there. I mean, I love gardening. And I love a nice orchard. I've always wanted an orchard. I've actually always wanted a lovely orchard where just nothing but fruit grows. From pears to apricots. You name it, all the fruits. Love an orchard. It's just something about an orchard that you walk through. And when you see the blossom come on it first, and then it attracts all the insects and the bees, and they pollinate, and gradually you begin to see the fruit forming, whether it's apples or pears or plums or whatever. I love that. Well, I just know God's going to bless me with that in glory. He knows the desires of our heart, you see. And praise God, I won't have to prune them all. It'll do it all itself. You see, God knows us. He knows our mould. Why? Because he's made you in that way, you see. Hallelujah. So all saints have to walk before God as he has divinely planned. Let's turn to John 6 and verse 29. John chapter 6 and verse 29. And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Did you know that Jesus came to work on our behalf? That's amazing. That he humbled himself as Almighty God, took upon the nature of man, a servant, a slave, but also he had a destiny, a job to do. And he says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. One of Jesus's main missions, work, is to work alongside with you and me in order that we believe. That's his main task. That's why I'm always saying you're fundamentally here today to believe. For God to work, for you to believe, to be totally persuaded in his word and what he's doing over your life and what you go through. That is his work. And so because that is his work, your faith will be completed in his presence. Hallelujah. You see, Abraham, he had to walk a faith walk. His life was planned, was it not? And God moved him. And he had to sojourn for many, many years to seek a land of promise. That was what God planned for him. And that had to come to its completion. And we see the absolute pinnacle of Abraham's faith, where he has come to a place where he's completely persuaded that God is faithful, whatever it is. And God said, now offer up your son, Isaac. And he knew that God would raise him up. And that God would provide. He didn't question it. And that is the same principle and work that God's doing with you and I. Noah building the ark. Looking foolish for 120 years. Sharing, persuading, telling them that a flood is coming upon the earth. Did they listen? No. And even his own family wouldn't have listened unless they were chosen by God and went into the ark. Just one man. But he had to walk that walk that God had planned and set before him. And what was the result of that? It saved humanity. You and I would not be here today. Job, he had a set walk. And his walk was that he was going to go through trial and physical trial. But what did he learn through that? He had a revelation at the end, say, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he will walk upon the earth in the latter days. What a revelation that he knew God would send his son in flesh. Many of the saints went through such trial, tribulation, but they knew they had come to a place in their walk where they were persuaded, and many of them made a pig's ear of their walk. Somebody like Samson comes to mind. I mean, look, he made an absolute mess of his walk, but look how God turned that around. And in the end, he was going to avenge his enemies and give God the glory, and he did. He perished with it. But he glorified God that day by destroying the Philistines. And I could go on to many of the saints who walked that way. Why? Because what you're seeing is their walk was planned and had to come to completion, fruition, to glorify God's name. And you see, the overcomers, they're going to complete their full spiritual 9 months until they are ready. That is what is planned for us. And you can't change it. You can shout. You can throw a paddy. You can fall out with God, whatever it is. But the overcomers have to fulfill that spiritual 9 months in the womb of the woman. That is what God has predestined, that is what he has decreed, and he has given us the faith to believe for that. That is why you can speak to other people and speak about an overcoming life. God's going to have first fruits, but it's going to take a spiritual 9 months, and it means that we're in prison for a period of time, being perfected and everything. You can talk that to other people, and they haven't a clue what you're talking about. Why? Because they're not walking it. It's not their walk of faith. But it is your walk of faith. And so my sheep who hear my voice, they'll know if that's what they are destined for. And the overcomers will respond. That's why we get a faithful remnant come. This is why we get a faithful remnant come into the room online every week. Why? Because they know that's their walk they're destined for. They hear it. Because God has to give you a revelation of your walk. That is why we must hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You have to have an understanding, a revelation of your walk that is set before God. As it doesn't, as you will be confused. And so many professing Christians are confused. They run around. They go from church to church, ministry to ministry, because they don't know what their walk is before God. Because they don't want to take up their cross also and follow. They don't want to Go the way of the cross, which means to go through much trial and tribulation to make it into the kingdom of God. They're arguing still with God on that. They're running away every time a trial comes. So they don't have a vision. They don't know what the Lord's saying. They're not seeing a vision of their walk of faith set before God. And you've got to see it. And God's been showing our walk, the overcomers, that we're hid until the appointed time when we are revealed to groaning creation. And that's a sovereign work. And we've had people here, we've had saints here, they've listened to it. But they're not here because they didn't want it or they couldn't see it. I remember a brother once who said to me, he's asked me and said, "Do you think I see this walk or not?" I knew in my heart he wasn't seeing it. But I wasn't going to put him down and crush him. I said, "All I can say to you is, if you have reservation or you've got question marks in your heart, just keep coming. Listen to the word. Let your heart be open. Let receive the seed of that word. And whatever you're not seeing, you will in time will see." I felt that was the best thing to say to him. It's not saying to him, "No, you're not seeing it." But I knew he wasn't. And he's not here. He's gone. Now, I hold these things sometimes, as a pastor, in my heart. And it can be heavy. You can cry and weep over things like that sometimes, you see. Now, I can only cry out to God, "Lord, let not them faith fail them. If it means they have to go through tribulation, great tribulation, then so be it. The soul being saved is the ultimate at the end of the day." But you grieve sometimes when you know that there are some who just don't see it. And so it is important that we are seeing what God is saying to us. And you have no finer way of seeing your walk of faith, be it in your trials. You see? You see it because when you overcome through a trial, like that testimony we've heard today, what does it do? It simply confirms to you, this is right. Because God has brought me through. That is the revelation of the overcoming life. Unless you have trials, how can you see it? How can you know? How can you experience it? It's simply words otherwise. And so coming through that trial and meeting God in it and turning to Him when really you should be turning to all the turmoil and everything that's going on, that convinces you, that persuades, that influences you that what you are doing, where you're going, what you're doing, what you're listening to is right. That's what it says back in Philippians 1:6, that I'm persuaded that He will complete that work. Because the apostle, in his trials, what God was doing, what God was revealing, what He was revealing to the church, was all confirming all the time. God is a God of confirmation. Not hindrance. Not cutting across like the devil does, you see. And so often we find that in the depths of our trials. And so overcomers are going to complete their spiritual 9 months. Well, you see, our faith is coming to completion. And it's coming to completion through the trials that we go through. You see, there's no other way out of it. Do you sometimes feel you can't go on? Of course you do. You just feel, you know, this is just one too many, this is. I haven't even had a breather. And here we go, the next one's knocking at the door. I mean, you know, your flesh is just saying, give me a break. You know? I know that one. We always say, you don't have to go looking for them. And sometimes, you know, they come more than one. And we're not going to get in that superstition, you know, where it says, oh, it always comes in three. And sometimes it does. But we're not going to confess that. See, that's where superstition can be very powerful. See? But this is where you learn this walk. This is where you learn to be an overcomer. Is your life a mess? Does it look as though it's falling apart? Yes, mine does. Absolutely. There are many times I think, God has made a mistake. No, he hasn't. I take it back. God never makes a mistake. He's sovereign. He's on the throne. He's not made a mistake over your life or my life. I think he has, but he hasn't, because he's sovereign. And so we learn through these trials to start to see God in them, because he's right there. But the enemy tries to rob us of that experience. I always remember that story, and I'll just say it very quickly, of a woman who lost her husband. It's a true story. And about 4 or 5 days later, she then lost her son. And she said, after a time when she gave her testimony, she said, I nearly went insane. I went completely out of my head. And she said, the only thing I knew to do was to speak in tongues. That's all I could do. And somehow, through the turmoil of this, I had to see God as I'm finished. And she did. It took a while. And she was able to give that testimony months later. You know? And you think, whoa. You know, I don't think I could stand through that. But God knew. Because in God's infinite wisdom, he had planned her walk. He had gone before. He had seen, and so he had provided. You see? God provides because he's seen, he's planned. He's planned in the provision. He doesn't plan the trials beforehand. He foresees the trials that you are going to go through, and in that, he's planning that way of deliverance for you. You see? We can't accuse God of these trials. He has done this. That's where man gets it wrong. This is where they say in the courts, well, it's an act of God. It's not an act of God. Who's the God of this world at the moment? Satan. But God has planned your deliverance through every trial that you go through, because he sees all things from the beginning to the end. Hallelujah. And that's why sometimes you feel you can't go on. And many times we go feel like that. But praise God, the one who in me, Christ in me, can go on. Because it's the life of Christ I live by now. You see? What we don't realize is that the Father blesses the Son. The Father said, it is all in your hands. Whatever you ask, I will bless you. That is why the Father answers to the one that is in you. That's why. And when the one who's in you is appealing to the Father for healing, for deliverance, for change, the Father gives it. It's not about you. It's not about me. We all like to think it is. We all like to think we're all special. You know, we are, don't get me wrong. But when you're dealing with sovereignty, you are dealing with the one who is in you. And the one who is in you is the one that God is going to answer. That is why he doesn't answer your moaning and groaning and belly aching before God. Doesn't answer that, does he? See? Doesn't answer that, but he answers to the one who is in you. That is why you nourish the life that is in you, which is Christ, in you the hope of glory. And that is the one whom the Father will honor and bless, and whatever he asks, who is in you, he will do it. And the one that's in you is saying, my leg is in a bad way, needs healing, My heart is in a bad way, needs healing. There's a tumour in me, I need healing. You see, Christ cannot have sickness in him. He cannot have oppression in him. He cannot have fear in him. He cannot have doubt in him. It is the one who is in you, not you. It's not about me. It is about Christ in me. So your trials, what you go through, your persecution, their lying and scheming and all those things that they say about you, isn't about you. It is about the one who is in you. Job's trial and everything he was going through wasn't about him. It was about the one who is in him, which was God Almighty. And it was God who brought it to Satan's attention, I might add. Now, God wouldn't do that unless he could see that Job was at that place of being persuaded. Because he's not going to try and let you be tried and tested above that which you're able to endure. You see? So we're gradually learning, aren't we? Yes, it can hurt. Physically, it can hurt. Physically, we may be really going through it, but it ultimately, at the end of the day, it's about the one that is in me. And the one that is in me is holy. He has overcome. He has triumphed over everything. Therefore, I look to the risen life that is in me. My hope is in him. My hope is in his resurrection. My hope is in his divine health. Everything that he is, that is in me. Now, we're going to get to that place. We're going to ultimately experience that. That has to be entered into. It may be just words. You may say, "Wow." But unless we move into that and experience that, we're never going to know. And so, you see, again, when we hear testimonies, that's why I so encourage testimonies to be given. When we hear of where in that midst of the trial and the pain and everything that's going, and then that taking that step of faith, throwing all the pills or everything away, all the props that try and get in the way, suddenly you become aware of a divine presence taking over. What is that about? That is about the one who is in you. And Satan knows he can't come against that one that's in you. And he's firing all the darts and everything. And what are they doing? Just falling down. Because the one is in you has asked the Father. He needs healing. I can't stay in this situation because I have overcome. And I can't have sickness. I can't have a bad leg. I can't have a bad head. It can't come on me. Therefore, healing has to take place because of the one who is in you. Are you at that place to receive this? Or do you think I'm some heretic that's now finally missed it? And that's why, you see, in the trials, your circumstances has to come to a full completion. Are you waiting for healing? Praise God, wait on it, because it's got to come to a full completion. Going through trouble at work, trouble in the family, the kids, oh dear. It's got to come to a full completion. And it will. It will. Because that's what faith does. You see, a lot of energy is lost trying to work it out. A lot of energy is trying to, "Lord, speak! You know, I need to hear from you," and everything. "Oh, I'll go into a fast now." And that can have a place, don't get me wrong. "Or I better upped up my prayer life," or, you know, "at least read 3 or 4 chapters each day now," whatever it is. This will improve it, whatever. We've all done it, haven't we? God says, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Start to look to the one who's in you, who is the completion of your faith, you see? You can't look to the one who's in you when you're playing the devil's game. And you're all emotional and all upset and all angry and frustrated and so forth. You know? Because that's exactly what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to lose our cool. He wants us to get angry. He wants us to have a go at the next person. Just got to take it out on someone. You know? It's in us. We have to take it out on someone. That's why violence is so bad today. Because they're so violent, so angry. The nature is that you've got to thump at least someone. And that's why we're seeing the abuse that we do today. This is why, sadly, we see it particularly in marriages. You know, husbands lashing out at the wife. And I might add now, wives are doing exactly the same. Wives are abusing the husbands. You know, it's almost becoming 50-50. What is it telling us? It's because they're angry, they're frustrated, the emotions and everything, you've got to lash out at something or someone. That's why men put fists through the doors or kick tires. See, the frustration, that's how it expresses itself, you see. But the trouble is, there's always a price to pay for that. And the price is that it often affects the heart. That is why heart problems are so prevalent today. Heart, you know, weakness, cardiac arrest, you name it, and so forth. You will often find it's connected with anger, bitterness, frustration. All those sort of things. It adds a lot of pressure onto the heart. There's always a price to pay for anything of that nature. Because it's the law of sowing and reaping. And so you see, because of these, people are so angry, violent and resentful, then, as a result of it, depression starts to come in. Because that's what it does. And so then you've got a society now that are on sedatives. And having to go to psychiatrists or the doctors. You know, I mean, doctors will tell you they're having to be psychiatrists now more than ever the professions had to be before. Because so many are coming with depression and oppression. Well, praise God, that is not for the overcomer. We're delivered from that. But you know, a lot of energy is lost trying to work it out. Let the trial mould you as an overcomer in that sense. Don't try and fight against it. Jesus just let them put him to the cross. Jesus let them abuse him. And they did. Let the trial mould you. Don't fight against it. It's like, you know, if you're drowning, you drown because you're trying to fight to survive. Instead of just relaxing, going over on your back and just let yourself float. I had to do that once. I was in the deep end in a pool and suddenly cramp gripped me, like nobody's business, in the leg. And I began to feel myself panicking. You know, and immediately I thought, no, my mother always taught me in swimming, if you're ever in trial, get cramped, go immediately over onto your back and float. And that went in. So I went over, I just went on my back and started until I could get into the side. You know, and I think the lifeguard was, he got his eye on me, he knew something was going on, but I had the sense to do that. I didn't fight against it. I went with it. You go with the tide and you believe that God is in the tide and he will save you out of that. God saves you out of the trial as you just yield over to it and it carries you along. Then he's there to protect you and preserve you. He can't protect and preserve you when you're fighting against it. You see? Now, that's illogical in the natural. That is crazy talk. What's this guy talking about? Now, of course, you're going to have some clever Charlie who might be listening and say, ah, yeah, but what are you going to do if you smell smoke and you're in a room there and you know that's sending you this far? You're just going to stay in there and, you know, no. Now, there's common sense. God's given us legs. He's given us senses. He's given us a nose. If you smell smoke or whatever, and this black smoke starts to come into a room, get out of the room. If you couldn't get out of the room, if it was too late, but you didn't know, you couldn't get out because outside there's raging fire. There's a difference.
Jesus is.